the cat has been let out of the bag, so maybe we should just go. We have had prayers. We have had mention of Isaiah. We have heard about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What else? I thank you for the opportunity you give me to go through God's word and come here before you to convey it. In this day and age, you find that we allow children, or we have to, or the society requires that we allow children to decide for themselves what they want to do. During my childhood, it was a different story. Your parents had plans for everything that you are going to do. What you are going to eat, the type of hairstyle you keep, the clothes you wear, and the time you get back home. If you cross the line, you get smacked. And in fact, it wasn't only your parents, even the people in the community, they see you at the wrong place at the wrong time, you are smacked. And they take you home, and your parents give you another one. At that time, at that particular moment, for example, that I'm being smacked, most times I feel that, oh, my parents don't love me. I get so upset. But moments later, you find that I am at the corner of the room or the compound, licking my hands, enjoying some sweets or some goodies that I have been given to console me. With hindsight, I find that there is no love better than that. It is because they loved me that they chastised me. And that, I feel, has made me a better human being. You remember the case of blameless Job? Job was blameless. But the devil still found a way of making Job suffer. Compare it to the case of disobedient Jonah. You remember what happened to bring him back in line. And then, of course, the case of the prodigal son. All this happened to show that we are loved. Our passage for today is taken from the book of Isaiah. Did you ever know that Isaiah has 66 chapters? I didn't realize it. The same number of books in the Bible. 66 books in God's holy word. 66 chapters in Isaiah. Our passage is in Isaiah 41-5. And we are also going to touch on Mark chapter 1:1-8. Now, yesterday night, I got checking, and I found that Isaiah in Hebrew means salvation of the Lord. God saves. And my mind went on wondering, was he given this name after he delivered God's message? Or was that the name given to him when he was born? And why did my mind wander like that? It's because I remembered Saul, Paul. Well, maybe I'm going to find out soon. Isaiah is one of the prophets that accepted the responsibility to deliver God's message to a people that were in a very bad situation. A difficult time. Maybe if I were the one, I would run like Jonah. We see in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, where he heard God's voice asking, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah responded with, "Here am I, send me." How many of us can do that? Are we happy? Even me that is standing here in front of you, am I happy to accept such instructions? Am I happy to go and deliver God's message like some of our brothers do? We need to be happy. Even that our society is not encouraging, does not encourage that, but our Creator is the ultimate authority. Eventually, he went on to deliver the prophetic response to outcries of pain that the people of Jerusalem would experience, especially in the hands of Babylonians, like those voiced in lamentation. I find it really a bit heartbreaking to read about the lamentation of the people of Israel in that time. Especially if you read Lamentation chapter 2:20-22. A very difficult time. Isaiah also foretold the coming and brought hope to God's people during that challenging time. Now, in delivering God's message, we are given in Isaiah 41 to 5, as it is there. Starting from verse 1, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. After Isaiah had called out against Israel's false apostasy, idolatry, and rebellion in the chapters previous to this, we now have this message of comfort. This is an act of acquittal where God gives contrite sinners like me the status of righteousness. Can you imagine? What have I done to achieve that? Or to deserve that? This is a message from a compassionate God. Despite all the wrongs, and that is one thing with us, we do wrong and we don't see it. And when we are punished, we start mourning and complaining. Just like what we have in Lamentation. It is time for us to understand that we are wrongdoers. We are sinners. Whatever comes to us is a consequence of our actions or inaction. Comfort, comfort my people. This is the message from the Lord our God. This act of acquittal is a continuous process that we keep receiving from the Lord our God. And it is only by His grace. Not for anything that we have done. The Lord justifies His people, as we are told in Romans chapter 3:24. The message in Romans 3:24. And that is why we have the coming good news in Mark chapter 1, verse 1. And it is that good news that we are looking forward to. Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 4. A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley should be raised up. Every valley shall be raised up. Every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level. The rugged places a plain. Now, just as we have heard a little earlier, there is nothing that we can do that will enable us to deserve or to gain forgiveness than giving a willing heart, having a willing heart. Because his forgiveness is just by his grace. And as we have seen in Isaiah 40, 3 to 4, the Lord sanctifies or set his people apart. By separating, protecting from participating in and being influenced by evil, he protects us. From participating and being influenced by anything evil. He makes his people holy as they need to be here on earth and in his presence. He smooths the paths, levels the paths, or softens the path, as we are given in Ezekiel 11, 19. And when he does that, he makes you see him as your only source of everything. And he accepts you as his child. And he does this through his word or through circumstances. Just like what happened in Israel. They went through so much. And of course, some didn't see their faults or their wrongdoings. He allowed so much to happen to them. And eventually, he sent his servant, his prophet, to prophesy of the comfort that will come to them. And we see in Mark chapter 1, 2 to 3, where God sent a harbinger, John the Baptist, to prepare the way. Preparing the way is preparing the hearts of the people for the coming Lord in human flesh. Isaiah 40, verse 5. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We will see the glory of the God. We will see the glory of the Lord. Once there is that smooth link, once there is that continuous channel, leveled out communication between us and our God, it will be like scales coming off one's eyes. And then we will see the glory of our Lord and our God. He will drench the desert, raise every valley, and level every mountain of our lives. And his glory will be revealed to us. Isaiah's prophecy will eventually be manifested in the birth, life, and the sacrifice of our Messiah, the incarnate Word of God. Following that prophecy, we see in Mark 1, continuing from 4 to 8. We have seen Mark 1, 2 to 3. Now, in Mark 1, 4 to 8, we are told of Isaiah's prophecy. We hear humbled John in the wilderness. And the wilderness, I understand, is somewhere to the east of Jerusalem, towards River Jordan and the Red Sea. He was there preparing the hearts of the people to receive the great gift by preaching the baptism of repentance. He baptized people to show they had repented and been forgiven their sins. However, his baptism gave them no power to live pure life. This is because it was only preparatory. He was only preparing their hearts for the one who was far greater than him, who will give or who will baptize us with the Holy Spirit, which like fire will burn up the chaff of our hearts, leaving the pure wheat to feed and strengthen the willing and obedient souls. Our message today tells us about much suffering. There was much suffering. Nothing that we see today. And we pray that God will not let us see that kind of suffering. And the only way for us to be able to enjoy that is to have willing hearts, allow our hearts to be smoothed out, to receive the word, and allow our God to walk through us. The message tells us that he promises comfort. And the elements of that comfort, which is given to us in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11, which of course is what John the Baptist was preparing the way for. Our God will fulfill his promise. He always does. No matter what level, or no matter what valley or mountain we are at. I wish you all a very happy Christmas.